Good morning. Today we continue our series on the incarnation of the Lord Jesus Christ. Today our meditation comes from 1 John chapter 4 verses 9 and 10. This is how it reads. In this the love of God was manifested toward us, that God has sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. In this is love. Not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. 1 John 4 verses 9 to 10 is teaching us that one of the reasons for the incarnation of the Son of God, the Lord Jesus Christ, was God's love for sinners. 1 John 4, 9 and 10 does not say that God is capable of love, nor that he tends to be loving, but that love is of the very nature of God, that God is love. So then, if one wants to learn what love is, then study who God is. God is intrinsically love. In that sense, one could say that God and love are interchangeable. The saying, God is love, is a true and faithful expression. However, verses 9 and 10 are not particularly concerned with love as God's essential being. Rather, verses 9 and 10 are concerned with how God in love has acted in history. Verse 9 tells us that God demonstrated his love for sinners in that he sent his only begotten Son into the world that we might live through him. God is teaching us that genuine love cannot remain static in a person's being. Love must become dynamic. Love must be expressive. God demonstrated his love by sending his Son into the world that wretched sinners like you and me could experience eternal life. This is how God showed his love among us. He sent his one and only Son into the world that we might live through Christ. The showing of God's love was a public affair, carried out among human beings to be seen by them and appreciated by them. But humanity did not appreciate the coming of God incarnate. John 1 verse 11 says concerning Jesus, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. Verse 9 of 1 John 4 tells us that the purpose of the sending of the Son was that we might live through him. If you are not living through Christ, you are just existing. If you are not living through Christ, then you are spiritually dead. You are spiritually alive when Christ is living in you and through you. God became man in order to impart spiritual life. That is what Jesus meant when he said in John 10 and verse 10, I am come that they might have life and have it more abundantly. A genuine spiritual life involves having Jesus Christ himself as your source for spiritual life. God's purpose in sending his one and only Son into the world was that we might live through Christ. However, the possibility that people might live through Christ depended on much more than a revelation of God's love in sending his Son into the world. We are able to live through Christ on the merits of his death on the cross, his burial, his resurrection, and his ascension. Verse 10 spells out what the Apostle John means when he states that love comes from God and God is love. John does so by explaining what God did for us. Verse 10 says, in this is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins. The Apostle John makes the point that love is not to be understood in terms of our initial love for God. In this is love, not that we loved God. Verse 10 stresses that it is not that we loved God. It is not that God met us halfway because we showed some desire to be right with God. No, love toward us was purely the initiative of God. The Apostle Paul made the same point in Romans chapter 5 and verse 8, where he stated, God demonstrates his own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. While we as persons were in rebellion toward God and in love with our sinful condition, that is why God chose to demonstrate his love for us by sending Jesus to die an atoning death for us. God had only one son, whose name is Jesus, and he was sent into a hostile environment, into a rebellious world, on a rescue mission to redeem us and reconcile us to God. That is indeed love. The love of God found the means by which the just and righteous wrath of God towards sinners could be appeased in order that forgiveness may be offered, obtained, and reconciliation achieved. Those of us who are Christians would do well to magnify the love of God by seeing at what tremendous cost the atonement was made, and therefore of what amazing length, devotion, and scope this love is capable. Were it not for the fact that God is love, we would have no expectation of mercy or forgiveness, no hope, and no future. The initiative in the work of man's salvation belongs entirely to the God of love. The Apostle John, in verse 10, is emphasizing that God sent Jesus Christ to be the atoning sacrifice and to remove the guilt we sinners had incurred because of our sins, so that we might have eternal life. This was the great expression of God's love, and on this basis, the Apostle John was able to say, God is love. Since God is love, all our definitions of what love is and how it behaves must be drawn from him if they are to accord with reality. The logic is clear. If God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. We should love each other in the same measure and manner as God loves us. The incarnation demands that the love of God revealed in Christ is precisely the pattern for the human love to be reflected in how we live with one another. If two Christians do not love one another, that is evidence that they have taken their eyes away from the cross. The cross reconciles sinners to God and Christians to one another. To you, my non-Christian friend, today is a good day to stop existing and to start living. Life begins in Christ. 1 John 5 verse 12 says, He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son hath not life. Christ is waiting and eager to impart unto you eternal life, which is the best life, which is the abundant life. Until next week, may Christ continue to bless you greatly.